Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth.
Yeah, and so I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 21. Just going to read this, share a few thoughts with you, and I'll let you go home. That's the fullest water bottle I've ever seen. It's right to the top. They must have known I was going to need extra tonight. Matthew 21, down through about verse 11. When you found that, shout amen for me. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, ye shall say, if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and setting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. A very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, that means save now, to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Father, I love you. I thank you for the night, the time, the place, the songs, each one that's come this way. Feed us with your word, Lord. Fill my mouth, guard my tongue. Preach me, God, with accuracy inside the bounds of the book. Touch us in what we do for the glory of the King. I have not to honor people, denominations. God, we've come to exalt our Christ. We praise you for who you are, not just what you've done.
Amen.
That thou art God. There's none like you, Lord. So have your way. We'll praise you for all that's done. We ask it in our King's name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Don't have an outline tonight, any footnotes on this. Just going to share a couple of thoughts and some things I've studied and gleaned. This particular time, we know we celebrate this particular day today. It's Palm Sunday. Here's what's happening. Jesus has changed. He's changed the course of history now. He's been telling people, don't tell anybody who I am or what I'm doing. And he wouldn't come in. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem, prior to this, he always went through the sheep gate, as my studies are accurate. So he's going into the sheep gate. This time he's not coming in the sheep gate. He's coming in the king's gate. He's coming in the main entrance, and he's coming in. He's not letting anybody, listen, he's not telling them to shh, don't say nothing. No, he's letting them speak up. And when he bumps in, he is fulfilling Zechariah 9 when he said that he's going to come and set. They should have realized when he come in, they knew the scripture, they just didn't interpret it. So here he comes. Now he's sitting on the foal of an ass. He's sitting on the little colt. There's a lot of guys that said this is some kind of miracle, and then others disagree and said they don't think so. They think that Jesus had this prearranged. That's why he said, tell them the master have need of it. And they already knew that he was going to send after them. I don't know that. The Bible doesn't say that. But what I do know, it's hard to ride the colt that's never been set on before. He's sitting on this thing, and you know what? He shows when he sat down, it didn't buck, kick, snort, jump,
run away. No, it just carried the load that was set upon his back. Praise God. And in the Jews' eye, it was a king that rode the donkey. And here he is, and he's coming in, and he's letting them shout. He's depending on them to say something. Watch this. If they don't say nothing, it doesn't stir up the Romans. It doesn't stir up the leadership of the Jews. Before, he's got away. He stayed hidden. He wouldn't let them touch him. But this time, he's coming in to surrender. Now, their plan was, don't sacrifice him. He can't be killed on the Passover. It's going to mess our party up. Everything's not going to be right. Don't do it on that day. But they had no choice. When the Passover lamb was being killed, praise God, the Lamb of God was hanging on the cross. And it was prophesied that that lamb was going to die. And if they couldn't have done anything about it, they played right into the hand of God. I'm trying to tell you, this thing's working according to Scripture. There's a time frame. The clock is a ticking. And if I'd call it something tonight, I'd say, here comes the king. He said, as he walked in there and they began to straw his in the way. We've been on that all day about the way. The way. We've heard that a half dozen times in this particular day. That they're strawing the way. He's coming in this way. They're paving it. They're crying, save now. Hosanna. Save now. Save now. But you know what? I gleaned this afternoon. Never had considered this. Because I've heard preachers saying, Rick, I might have said it myself. The same crowd's going to be yelling, crucify. Wiersbe said, not so. Not so. Because there's three different groups right here. Now, a lot of these folks, because it's Passover time, the Jews have come from the north, the south, east, and west. They've all gathered at Jerusalem for Passover, which was the normal practice. So there was some, he had been to Galilee. You reckon some of them people that had seen him heal the blind eyes and touch the broken and the lame and the crippled and fed them on the hillside, 5,000 of them, you think some of them didn't show up that day? Hey, they know who he is. They're not crying, crucify him. But the Romans were there. Most Bibles title this the triumphant entry. Your Bible probably has that heading over this. And this is, by the way, this is recorded in all four Gospels. But I learned something this afternoon. That the Romans were gathered here as well, no doubt. They had their eyes on these Jews. They're wondering what they're going to do. Who is this guy? Now, I'm going to tell you, it makes a difference when he just got a dead man up. They're really wondering about him now. And a triumphal entry for the Romans. They watched this thing. They watched this thing. There's no doubt. They were a prideful bunch, you know. They had the Jews squashed under their rule. They couldn't do anything without the Romans' permission. The Jews couldn't crucify anybody. It took the Romans to kill Jesus. But the Jews was the one that got him, that pointed it, took him to him, and wanted it done. But what's this? So a Roman knew what a triumphal entry was. They was probably making fun of this little entry when they're singing, Hosanna, save us now. Calling him the Lord and the Son of David. They knew who David was. Historically, they knew. But for a Roman triumphal entry, it took 5,000. You had to have at least 5,000 in your campaign and taken some prisoners. And they said the Romans' entry would take, sometimes it would take days to get them all marched in there. They wound up in the Colosseum, and then they watched them try to kill the lions, and ultimately the lions killed them. But it was at least, it was a minimum of 5,000. One old writer said it like this. He's coming in the gate. They don't know who he is. He's going to hang on a cross. They're going to put him in a tomb. He's going to get up. He's going to ascend unto the Father 40 days later. Hey, then 10 days after that, on Pentecost, praise God. You talk about a triumphal entry. There's going to be, listen, there's going to be thousands saved that day. And then it's not long after that, there's going to be thousands more saved. This was, praise God, the entry of entries. The Romans squashed them to kill them. He resurrects them and brings them to life. Here he's come into this place. Now they're gonna do, and Luke records it like this, if they don't cry, the stones will. Somebody's gonna be crying. Hey, I remember down at Brother Jimmy Jewell's church in the new build, in the building they're in now, first time I preached down there, they had rocks laid out on the stage and said, don't let them speak for you. I thought that was pretty good. Something's going to cry out. I think we ought to do the crying, don't you? Let's let them know who he is. Who is he? When he entered this way, he entered in three different positions. He's come three times. First, he's the priest, then he's the king, then he's the prophet. He comes three times into this city, but this is what they call the triumphal entry. Now, he come here in this, and they recognized him for who he is. But it's only the believers that's drawing the way and yelling. But yet, in that, what did they miss? Who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. He was a prophet, and he is the high priest. But he's more than that. He's the king. Can I tell you, the king's coming back. Hey, the believers recognized him in that day, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Can I tell you, the king's coming back. Hey, every army in the world, Putin can't stop him. The United States won't stop him. Yi Ching in China, he can't stop him. Little wild man in North Korea, he can't stop him. Little Moon or Yoon or Soon or whoever he is. Listen, the king is coming back. He's a coming back. We've heard that all of our lives. He's a coming. And he's still coming. He has not come as of yet, because I'm still here. If I go by way of the grave, it will not keep him from coming. The kings are coming. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? The king is coming. Who is this king? He's Jesus. He's Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the highest, the holiest, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He's the king. Praise God. Listen, he's the lion from the tribe of Judah. He's my friend. Well, I'm telling you, people measure their success and themselves often by friends that they have that might be, well-known or well-established. Let me tell you, it's something to have a friend named Jesus. Amen. I ain't never had another friend like him. He's my friend in the nighttime. He's my friend in the bad times. He's my friend in the good times. He's my friend that supplies my bed. Praise God, he puts food on my table. He put these shoes on my feet. He is my friend. He's the king, and the king is coming back. And when he entered here, they weren't glad. Many of them was not glad to see him. At his appearing, all of us that look for him, by the Hebrew writer is very plain about that. That's the ones going to see him. Jimmy said something to me one time. I got in a big way preaching at a graveyard, and I said, praise God, it's going like a 10, look like a 10 bottom plow come through here one of these days. Jimmy, it wasn't long after that, Jimmy said, you know what, I don't think that's right, Brother Mike. You're right. They ain't going to know. They ain't going to know. I don't think it's going to disturb the graveyard a bit. They're just going to come up. How are they going to do that? How are they going to come out of the sea? Same way. Going to come up. Because when he shall appear, we shall be like him. How was he when he appeared to them in the upper room? He wasn't there, and poof, he was there. Hey, where was he? What did he do? Just he was there, he was gone. He's walking away with them down Emmaus Road. You sing about it, poof, and there he is, and then he's gone. And their hearts burned within them. But they won't miss it when he comes back. I think they'll miss it when he appears. Because it's to them that's looking. They're not looking for the Lord. They're looking for humans, men to do better, and women. We're gonna achieve. We're gonna grow. We're gonna build us a Tower of Babel into the heavens. Hey, we got it going on. No, they don't. No, the world does not have it going on. They're headed in the wrong direction. They're going down. But when the king comes, they ain't going to miss it. He's going to come in clouds of glory. And there's going to be somebody with him. Who might that be? I'm volunteered for that army. Give me a horse and sign me up. Hey, let me jump on old Ajax. Here I come. Hey, he's coming back. He's going to the four corners of heaven. He's going to lift them up. Here we come, praise God. Don't have to lift a sword. Don't have to do no fighting. We just ride behind the king and let him do all the work. And what's he going to do? He's going to speak it. It's going to come out of his mouth. And they're going to fall like dead men. The king's coming. He's going to step on the Mount of Olivet. And that place we walked down over there, Grover, is going to split in two. The greatest measurable fault line on the globe is, guess where it's at? Under the Mount of Olivet. Ain't that a coincidence? No. Why? Because he said that thing's going to cleave in two. Had a boy trying to tell me one time, all the Old Testament's been fulfilled. That'll let you know which denomination he's out of. I said, you're wrong. He said, well, no, I don't think I am. I said, I can prove you're wrong. He said, how would you do that? I said, you ever been to Israel? Well, no. I said, I have. You ever been to the Mount of Olives? No, I've not been to Israel. I said, I have. I stood on that thing. And you know what? The Bible said it's going to split in two. It is not split in two. It's as solid as it's ever been right now. I said, so therefore, my good friend, if that's not been fulfilled, may I say that there's a lot of it that has not been fulfilled yet. He said, well, I don't know about that. I said, that's your problem. You don't know. Just believe the book. Go over there and see it for yourself. It's intact. But one of these days, when the King of Glory steps off on that thing, it's going to split in two. Listen, the upper seas, water that way, water that way, a corridor to the gate. And that one fella poured it full of concrete just in case it was true to keep anybody from walking through it. What do you think that's going to do? What do you think that's going to do to the one that reached his hand out, scooped out the oceans, pinched up the mountains, hung the earth on nothing, gave her a spin, she's still turning. How's a little concrete going to stop that God? There's no way. Hey, the kings are coming back. He's going to sit on his throne. The angel promised Mary, your son, this baby, this Jesus, the one that's going to rule over the house of Jacob that I mentioned this morning, and going to give him the throne of his father David. Can I tell you, he's never sat on that throne yet. It's always the cross and then the crown. But the angel promised it. Mary's still awaiting, but the kings are coming. And he's going to take his place. He's going to sit down on the throne. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. And then is the in my study and understanding is the only time that we'll ever have opportunity to reign as kings and priests is in the kingdom that the king sets up. We certainly don't do that now. We will not do it in glory. The only place that that is even an option. Dusty says, Pa, what's my options? The only place that's even an option is in the millennial kingdom. I think you're a stone may have two or three countries, he looks over. The first will be last and the last shall be first. I don't think we can conceive in our mind the change that's going to take place when the king comes back. There's going to be a sad day. We see it in Matthew 25. I'm not going to get into it much, but we see it in Matthew 25. We see when he's judging nations, I'm telling you, and the sheep and the goats, Rick, they're parted. You don't want to be in the goat pen. It's the last place you're going to be found. It's a bad place. Why is that? He said, he's going to say, depart. In the lake of fire, which was created, listen, for the devil and his angels. He didn't make that for us. He made salvation for us, a way to glory forever, just waiting on the king to come back. I hope you know he's coming. And I hope you know you're ready. And if you're here tonight, I don't know everybody's heart, but I'm looking and I'm scanning the room. Everybody looks saved to me. And if you're not saved, listen, you're not going with him when he appears. According to scripture, you are not going. And I had somebody tell me one time, they said, I'll get a second chance. I said, if you won't give your heart for him now, I don't imagine you'll give your head later. Now, there will be some that do. There'll be some that do. Revelation pretty clear about that. If I was here tonight and I didn't know him as my king, I'd want to meet him. Amen. Yes. I'm hoping we see some, we get to introduce some to the king. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that we get to do king's work? You listen, if you're his, you're working in the kingdom of God. You're getting to do king's work. Amen. I'm just going to tell you, ain't nobody in this building could call Bill Lee and go to work for even the governor tomorrow. But we're getting to do king's work. That ought to excite us. That ought to stir us up. Why? Because the king's coming back. That feeble number that watched him. Now I say feeble number. They say there's probably 2 million people gathered around Jerusalem at the time of Passover in this particular part of history. Up to 2 million people, they say, gathered around that city. So we wouldn't think that was too feeble a number, but it's a feeble number compared to the ones that's coming back with him. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready. I hope you know that if the king comes back, you're going with him. He's a coming back. Amen. If I didn't know him tonight, I'd just come to this altar. There'd never be an easier time to be introduced to the king than right now. Never. If I had something I need to pray about, you know what you do? You can ask the king. You can ask him. You know who he takes care of? His subjects. Yeah. His brethren. And there's no need for me to not have everything I need spiritually in this life. And if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said he'd add all this other stuff to us. I found that to be true. I don't need riches. I got more stuff than I know what to do with now. I opened my garage door, looked at it one day. Dusty standing there, said, what are you going to do with all this stuff? He said, Dad, I do not know. Just sell it, boy. give it away, do something. What are you going to do with all that? It's just stuff. I don't know. But it's not stuff we need. It's a closer walk with the King.
Amen.
We are subjects of the King. Let's hear what he says. I'm looking to move up this week. I'm looking to get in a place I've not been in a while. Yeah. I hope you are too. Why? The King's coming. Let's stand. She's going to play something. If you need to pray, you're welcome to come. Father, I love you. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.